Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Marcus. I pastor our North Mobile campus. We've just celebrated 3 years. God doing things. And can I tell you, it's been a bumpy road, right? It's been a bumpy road because I'm going to be honest with you, church planting is not an easy thing to do, right? And you guys know that. It's tough. It can be difficult. But the reward is great, okay? It's great and it's awesome. I've got two kids that are completely great, right? I've got a wife that's completely, she's sitting right here. She's the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. She really is. She is. She has. There's been times in my life where she has been Jesus to me in every sense of the word. And she's just really been gracious. Madison is our oldest daughter. A lot of you guys may know her. She was probably, what, 8, 7? No, how old is she now? 10, 11? 6 or 7. When we left here, she was 6 or 7. Man, she we didn't get here last night till about midnight because she plays softball. And she had a tournament, which was almost down at the beach. So we had to leave straight from there and come here, and we're just proud of what God's doing in her life. Ah. Amen. I love her. Got no choice, right? But she was playing yesterday. She was playing, and man, you ought to just seen her. I know some of you guys would appreciate it. She was playing in the ball. She played shortstop, and the ball was hit deep. And man, she was running. She just laid out for it and dove. And then she jumped to her knees. And she's been made to throw. She didn't make, you know, it bounced. The girl was safe when she come back to the dugout. I said, what a great play. And you know what she did? Anybody ever seen SportsCenter? You know what I'm talking about? When they do the highlight plays. So she's running to the dugout. I'm like, what a great play. She's going, I'm like, all right. And then we've got Dalton. He's a mess. We love him too. No choice. But he's great. He loves anything that gets his attention for the moment. He really does. But hey, look, I want to dive in this morning. In our church, we've been in a series called Unlocking Freedom. Okay? How many of you guys want to live a life of complete freedom? Every day. Every day. I don't know about you, but I know I do. And we teach a class at our churches, and even this one, I think you guys teach it, called Life. And it's what? Living in freedom every day. Church, can I tell you that freedom goes beyond Sunday morning? Okay? Can I tell you that freedom goes beyond Wednesday night? Right? Okay? And let me make a plug for the church. If you don't come and you don't get involved in Wednesday night prayer and what's going on, okay, you're missing it. You're missing it. Church, you really are. Why? Because that's what I believe it sets the tone for everything that's going to go on here on Sunday. And then that's an opportunity for you to come in with no distractions and just have a chance to talk to God, right? So if you're not here for Wednesday night prayer, you need to be here. You need to make a commitment to be here and be involved and be a part of that. And I can say that because I'm going to get in a car and I'm going to drive 3 hours down the road, right? But you need to be here and get plugged in and support these guys. But we've been in that series and we've been just really teaching and talking to our people about really living in freedom. Because that's where we want to be. I believe that Jesus intends for us to have a life of complete freedom. Right? Complete freedom. But too many times we get to a place, we get saved. Right? We give our life to Christ. We've got somebody in our life that gives our life to Christ. And too many times we see something go wrong. Right? And they say, woe is me. Right? I call it the Eeyore syndrome. Hey, it happens. And they say, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. God allowed this to happen to me. And you know what? My life was better before I gave my life to Him. So I'm just going to step away from this and go back to what I used to know. How many people know people like that? Right? We all do. Can I tell you what you need to do and what you need to tell those people? Get over it. You do. Ain't nothing wrong with being honest. You need to tell them, I love you. Right? I love you to death. But what you need to do is you need to grow up and get over it. You do. You need to get over it. Why? Because God's placed you there for a reason. God's placed you in that season for a reason. That's what I'm teaching my church. Now, that's what we're learning. We've got a young church, okay? We've got our oldest member in our church, our older member in our church is probably about 60 years old. We have a young church. We got a lot of young people. But guess what happens with young people? They make a lot of mistakes, okay? And what we have to do is we got to help them say, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it, right? But Pastor, you don't know what I did. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it, right? And you just got to keep on going, right? And that's what we got to learn how to do. To live in freedom, we've got to learn how to keep on going, right? Because I promise you, the enemy's going to try to attack you. He doesn't want you to live a life of freedom, church, okay? I tell my church all the time, and we on Wednesday night, we have a small group, and it's called Life. And we've went through the life lessons and all that stuff, but we still keep it going. And it's called Life. And what we've been talking about lately is when we give our life to Christ, okay? And those of you who've been saved very long at all know what I'm talking about. When you give your life to Jesus, it's like Satan takes this big target and he says, okay, Jonathan, there it is. I'm placing it on your back. And everything in your life that can happen begins to happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Everything that could go wrong possibly begins to go wrong. Right? And if we're not taught and we're not shown and we're not matured, you should mature as a Christian, church. Okay? Babies mature. My 3-year-old, guess what? We're getting out of diapers, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right? Well, you know, you fix it, you're ready to go back in them. Right? Right? But he's getting out of diapers. What is he doing? He's maturing. Is he at the level he needs to be yet? No. Right? But he's growing. And as a Christian church, what do we have to do? We have to mature and we have to grow. Right? Because I believe that's what God wants us to do. I don't believe it. I know God says, hey, I don't want you to be satisfied with this forever. You should be okay with this for a while, and then you should move on to this, right? And so that's what we've been teaching, and what we're going to talk about this morning is unlocking freedom and living in grace, okay? So we've been in this series, and it's all about Galatians, right? And the book of Galatians is all about freedom, okay? And what Paul did is he wrote a book of epistles, right, or letters to the people of Galatia on how to live in freedom. That's what he did. I'm just giving you a little background. But these Jewish teachers came along. And you know what they did? They tried to teach it, right? But they didn't teach it the way it was written, right? How many people know a lot of churches are doing that now? They're not teaching God's word the way it should be taught, right? And so Paul says, hey, this isn't right. It's not right. Quit. And then he goes on, and we're going to read about it in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Let me find it. Galatians 1, starting in verse 1 down through verse 5. Now, I'm going to read out of the NIV. I don't know what's behind me, but you got it. And this is what it says. In verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And verse 2 says, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace be to who? What's it say? You. Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. And verse 5 closes it and says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we love you. And Jesus, we thank you for your word, God, and its truth. God, and its promise. God, it never fails us, Father. And we just ask, God, that today that your word would speak to us, God, and change our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, real quick, man, I see a lot of the young people that I had an opportunity to pastor this morning. As their youth pastor, man, and I was talking to some of them, and they're saying, man, we are managers at our jobs. I'm like, good job. The pay's great, but the headache is worse, right? And then Becca's over there, man, she's dedicated. She's here. Look like somebody done punched her in the throat. Wow. Love you. I'm just kidding. I love Becca. But, and we're going to dive back into this, but have you guys ever known anyone who thinks everything is all about them? Y'all know anybody like that? Everything is all about me, right? And a lot of times, in a lot of cases, okay, ladies, I love you. But a lot of times, more often than men, it's women who have that mindset that everything's all about me. Let me give you a great example. I'm sure we've all been to weddings, right? Some of us have gotten married, you know, and you've had your bridesmaids and all these, whatever you call them, you know, all that type stuff. And so you've got your bride, and the center of attention on that day is the bride. And everybody knows that, right? See, she's the focal point. The groom really don't matter. You're just there, right? Sean, get ready. You're just there, okay? And it's like, but you've always got this one girl, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got this one girl who thinks, you know what? Today, I'm going to look better than she did. Right? It's that one girl who thinks, oh, everything's about me, right? Whatever, it's my time to walk down the aisle. I'm going to strut it, you know? I'm going to do whatever I can to put all eyes on me. Can I tell you this? It ain't always about you. Okay? And we're talking about grace this morning. It ain't always about you. And those people in your life, I'm just honest. Okay, that's the only way I know how to be. I don't have a filter. Okay? My wife tells me, hey, you shouldn't have said that. I'm like, that's it. It's just me. Can't help it. But there are people in your life that are like that. You know what you need to tell them to do? Tell them, it ain't all about you. You need to be open enough with them and love them enough to point it out to them and tell them, hey, girl, it ain't all about you. Right? Right? It ain't about you. But guess what? When it comes to grace, and that's what we're talking about, living in grace, grace ain't all about you. It's not. Grace is for us. God offered us grace through His Son, Jesus. But if it hadn't have been for His Son, guess what? We wouldn't have had the grace. So guess what that tells me? Grace ain't about me. Grace ain't about me. It's about Him. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. It's about grace. But what I want you to know is what I just told you. Grace, it's not all about us. Okay, and I'm going to run through this thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I got just a little bit of Pentecostal in me. Okay? I actually got a whole lot of Pentecostal in me. Pastor Gabriel, he'll say, man, how long did you preach this week? And I'll be like, well, probably like 50 minutes. And he said, man, I preached 20 minutes. I said, man, I'm sorry. Right? I'm sorry. But I got just a little bit of Pentecostal in me and just love to preach God's word. But so if we run a little longer than you guys normally do, I don't know what time y'all get out. Nobody tell me, so I don't have to know. I can tell Pastor Gabriel, nobody told me what time y'all dismissed, man. Blame Pastor Jonathan. It's all on him. But we're going to be talking about grace and just really dissecting that and what it looks like. If you got your Bibles, flip them back open to Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 1 down through verse 3. And we're talking about human effort. Okay? How many of you guys know that your efforts won't get you to heaven? Amen. Okay? Your efforts, your good acts, no matter how much you give, it ain't going to get you to heaven. Amen. Okay? No matter how much you do, it ain't going to get you to heaven. No matter how many times you teach children's church, it ain't going to get you to heaven. No matter how many times you play the drums, it ain't going to get you to heaven, church. Okay? And we know that. Why? Because we've been taught that, right? We've been taught that. We know that. But there are some people in our world that don't know that. And what's our job? Our job is to teach them what we've been taught. Okay? And I'm talking about grace this morning. I can look around this room and see people who have been saved for years that still every day we need God's grace. Okay? But I'm teaching you this message or preaching this message to you this morning in hopes for you to go out and share God's grace with somebody in your life that needs it. Okay? But too many times, and don't do this, don't just take what we hear in here and hold it to yourself. Okay? Go out and share it with people. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. We'll go through verse 3. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you, for the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of His death on the cross. Then Paul says, hey, let me ask you this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not, he said. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, right? And when we all get saved, man, we could tear the walls of hell down. Amen. Right? After starting it, watch this. Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Okay? You can't be perfect. Everybody say this. I am not perfect. You're never going to be. Right? We strive to be what? Holy. Right? But that's a process that's not completed here. Okay? As great as I think I am, ask my wife, I'm the best husband in the world. She'll tell you. I am the best husband that she's ever had in her life. Right? I'm not lying. I'm not perfect. Right? I'm not perfect. And I understand that and I get that. But guess what, church? You're not perfect. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. Right? There's going to be times where you're doing everything right. You're tracking in the right direction. And you're just going to mess up. And then you're going to have an opportunity to go into that Eeyore syndrome. Don't go into the Eeyore syndrome. Keep your head up, focus your eyes on the cross, and keep moving. Right? You are going to mess up. But when we mess up, what do? We go to Jesus and say, God, forgive me. Right? We say, God, forgive me. I know I've messed up. I'm not perfect. And guess what He does? He forgives us. Why? Because of grace. But here's the thing. We should mature like we said a minute ago. And we shouldn't use His grace as a crutch. Okay? His grace is there. It's available. But we shouldn't use it as a get out of jail free card. Right? You should want to be better. You should want to do better. Right? It's a mindset. Okay? I tell people all the time in our church, first thing you got to do when you give your heart to Jesus. Whoa, what was that? I done stepped on something. I don't know what it was. I'm going to go over here. I said the first thing you got to do when you give your life to Jesus is change the way you think. Change the way you think. Why? Why? Because it's going to determine who you are and what you do. If you stay with the same thought process you have now, you're never going to mature. If you change the way you think and you transfer your mind by what? Anybody know? Renewing your mind, right? Renew it. Make it new. Then you will grow. Okay? Galatians 3:10. I'll keep reading. This is what it says. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. And then it goes on to James 2:10. And this is what it says, for whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. Do you know why they kept breaking the law? And why we break the law? Because law can't be obeyed. Law can't be obeyed. There's something in us, right? There's something in us that says, hey, there's a rule and I want to break it. That's me. You tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it. Right? Right? Tell me not to do something. That's going to be the first thing I want to do. Right? Man, I remember we went to Disney World a couple of months back for spring break. Had a great time. Man, I'm driving home. I told Amy, I said, I'm tired. She said, boy, pull the car over. I'll drive. I said, all right, get it, girl. I said, I'm going to lay down. I'm going to go to sleep. She said, wake me up when we get home. Right? Man, I'm driving. Or I'm not driving. She's driving. I'm asleep. I'm reclined back. Kids, man, and we're all just chilling, having a good time. I feel this on my leg. Hey. Like, what is it? You just got over there. She said, make sure everybody's got their seatbelts on. I said, okay. I got mine on, you know. Well, do I need to act conspicuous or anything like that? Do I need to do anything sudden? She said, we're getting pulled over. I said, we're getting what? She said, yeah, we finna get it pulled over. She said, I was speeding. I said, Amy. I said, you've been driving like 5 minutes. And you already getting a ticket, girl. already. I said, I can't even sleep without you breaking the law. Right? So guess what happened? The cop walked up to my side. And he's, you know, license and registration. So I pull out mine. I'm like, hey, you know, and I try to slide in my minister's card and stuff like that, thinking he'll have a little compassion. It didn't work. But he gave her the ticket. He said, you need to slow down. I said, I agree with you. She needs to slow down. Next time, put her in jail. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But we want to break the law. When we're told not to do something, guess what we do? Whatever it is. Right? And that's how sin works. We know we shouldn't sin, but what do? We sin. Well, Pastor, what do you mean I sin? I ain't done nothing. I was at home last night in bed by 9:30. I wasn't out where I shouldn't have been. I did everything right. I drunk. You know, I was at home drinking Kool-Aid and eating crackers. I wasn't doing nothing wrong. But where's your heart? Well, what do you mean? Church, I believe, and this is just me, okay? I believe that so many people are going to be left out of heaven because of their heart. Okay? Not because of the big sins that take place, but the small ones. Right? The little white lies. The bitterness. The anger. I believe rather than the big sins that we put this microscope on and we look at and we dissect and we say, hey, you're messed up. You're jacked up. Rather than those things, I believe in the lives of people who call themselves believers, those small things are what are going to keep them out of heaven. Guess what we have to do? We've got to get our heart right. We've got to get our heart right. Don't let the little things that we think that God will sweep under the rug, because God don't sweep them under the rug. Don't let those things keep you out of heaven. Amen? So the law couldn't be obeyed. I got a lot of scripture. Galatians 3:19. What then was the purpose of the law? Then it goes on to Galatians 3:24 through 25. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now faith has come and we are no longer under the supervision of the law. How many of you guys are glad you don't live in the days of the Old Testament? My stomach's too weak. Right? We all know. To be forgiven of your sins, you had to what? Bring a sacrifice. I don't own any livestock. I'm in bad shape already. Right? I can't do dogs. They run off, man. They don't like us. Right? Last dog we had, man, it just didn't like me. And I think it's because we get these girly dogs. Like, what was it called? We've had a cockapoo. We've had a chapon. I'm like, man, what are these things? Right? But in the Old Testament, the only way to be forgiven of your sin was to take your best sacrifice and have it slain on the altar. Right? But then when the new covenant, I call it the new law, Jesus' law, right? God's law, when it slipped in and God has sent His Son to die for us on the cross and we received grace, right? And we receive it as a gift that we can just hold on to and have and not have to take this or that when we mess up and have it sacrificed, but rather ask for forgiveness. That's when a shift happened and everything changed. The law leads us to Christ. That's point number two if you're taking notes. You guys were in my church, I'd have all this on a piece of paper for you. Y'all know how Pastor Gabriel does it. He probably does that. He's a lot smarter than I am. But Galatians 3:24, we just read it. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. Now here's what I want to do real quickly. I want to give you 5 points on living in grace. Okay? Because you need to live in grace every day. Every day you need to live in grace. You need to be thankful for the grace that God's given you. Amen? Amen? Don't take it for granted. Right? We all know those people who take stuff for granted. You know, I had a grandfather, loved him to death. Loved him. Probably one of the greatest men in my life. I'll be honest with you. He is the person who helped me figure out that ministry was probably for me. And I was talking to him one day. He said, man, because he's real like, He was mechanic. He was electrician. All this type of stuff, real hands-on. And I was working with him, and he'd say, "Hey, man, you may want to figure out something that you don't have to do a whole lot of, you know, hands-on work with to do for a living." I said, "What's that mean?" He said, "Be honest with you." He said, and some of you older folks will get this. He said, "I've got some kerosene rags over there. Let me tie them around your ankle so ants can crawl up and eat your candy butt." Right? But he was a great man. I loved him. He did good things. He did things right. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't give his heart to Jesus. He didn't give his heart to Jesus until he was laying at a place where he was fixing to either make a choice to enter heaven or enter hell. Right? And some of you guys may not know this, but Pastor Shane, when he was in Mobile and I was in Clanton, he went to the hospital that night and I called him. I said, "Hey man, I need you to do me a favor." He said, "What is it?" I said, "I need you to go pray with somebody." He said, "Okay, who is it?" I said, "My grandfather, he's not in good shape. I'm on my way to Mobile." I said, "I just need somebody to pray with him so we can get the assurance that he gets into heaven." Pastor Shane went with him. He prayed, and I prayed that his heart was in the right place. And I know now and hope now that he's in heaven. You know, and that's all we can do is know and hope. But when it comes to grace, some people say, "Hey, I'll just pick it up when I need it." Right? I'll just ask God to forgive me when I need it, when it benefits me, as long as I can get my life right before I check out of here, church. But how many of us know we don't know when it's our time to check out of here? Right? We don't know. We don't know. So what do we have to do? We have to get our priorities in order. Right? And what is our priority? Jesus. Should be. Your priority should be Jesus. Sometimes we mix that up. You know what we make our priority? Our kids. Our husband, our job, where we're going on vacation. That's backwards. Our priority should be Jesus, our spouse, our kids, our job, and then everything else. Okay? So we got to get our priorities in order. So living in grace, number one, grace is a free gift. Grace is a free gift. Romans 6:23, we all know it. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift. How many of you guys like gifts? Right? The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Free gift. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. Right? I love free stuff. Man, when me and Pastor Jonathan was at this conference, I looked like just somebody who wanted to stuff their pockets full of everything. Right? Man, they're giving all this stuff away, and I've got bags on this side. I've got... Man, pockets full of trail mix, you know, because it's free, right? It's free. We want it. Right? Hey, give me one of those. It's free. I don't have to pay for it. Yeah, you know, that's how we are. Guess what? Grace is free. You don't have to pay for it. All you have to do is ask for it, right? Ask for it. It's free. God loves you so much that He says, "Hey, you know what? I'm giving you this gift, and it's free. And all you've got to do is take it." But guess what we do a lot of times? We say, "I want a gift. I want a free gift. But I don't want that gift." That's what a lot of people do. Man, you are sitting in a bad spot. I'm just going to go on and tell you. If you take a shower, if I'm giving you a shower, I'm sorry. I promise I brush my teeth. But a lot of people don't want the free gift that God gives them. Why? Because it isn't going to make them feel good. It brings correction to their life. Right? They can't go out and do the things they want to do anymore. Why? Because when you accept that gift of grace, baby, it ain't about you. It's not about you anymore. Right? So people don't want it. Church, we need to teach them. How many of us got people in our lives that we love? Right? We could all raise our hand. How many of us have people in our lives that we love that they don't have Jesus in their life? Right? You know what we need to do? Teach them about grace. Point them towards grace. And when we point them towards grace, we point them towards Jesus. That's what we got to do. Right? So number one, grace is a free gift. Number two, grace is received by faith. By faith. Right? Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith.
And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We talked about it a second ago. You're saved by grace through faith. You know, a lot of people mix that up and they mix it around. They do. A lot of people confuse that for the longest time. Man, I used to hear people say, I'm saved by faith through grace. No, you're saved by grace through faith. And it's a free gift that Jesus gives us. Man, if people could just grab that, right? If people could grab the thought of your works not getting you to heaven. People actually think that, church. People think that, hey, because I'm a good person, because I'm a good person, because I've done good things, I'm going to be in heaven. Guess what? It doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't have Jesus, you ain't going to heaven. Right? So we got to get our priorities in number. That's number two. Grace is received by faith. Number three, and I like this one. Grace is available to everyone. Wow. Grace is available to everyone. Grace isn't just available to some people, right? Grace isn't just available to me. Grace isn't just available to Miss Rose. Grace is available to all of us. All of us. Right? So what do we need to do? We need to receive it. Right? We need to receive it. We all know the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that what? I once was, but now I'm, was blind, but now I. That's not prejudice. Grace is for everybody. Right? Everybody. We just need to receive it. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It didn't just say some people. It just didn't say one out of every five people. It said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you know what you got to do? You got to call on His name. You got to call on Him. You got to lean on Him. You got to trust in Him. Number four. This is truth. Grace comes only through Christ. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. How do we get grace? Through Jesus. Well, what do you mean? Easter. Right? That's all about grace. Jesus dying on the cross. Right? Jesus raising again on the third day. That's for us. That's for us. And we got to realize it. And we got to take it serious, church. Seriously. Some people don't take their salvation serious. Some people don't take what God's done and what God's doing in their life serious. Right? They don't. Y'all know those people. Hope it's not you, but they don't. So what's our job? To help them. Our job is to help them, point them towards grace, point them towards Jesus. Romans 5:15 says, many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:21 says, don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, there was never no need for Christ to die. Don't treat it as meaningless. Right? Don't just take it and just use it when you need it. Don't just live for Jesus on Sunday. Right? Don't just live for Him on Sunday. Live for Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Don't just worship on Sunday. Right? Pastor Jonathan will tell you, this is a very small part of what worship is. Worship is a lifestyle. Right? You want to grow closer to Jesus. You want to mature as a Christian. Start letting worship be a lifestyle. Well, what do you mean? Everywhere you go, you worship. Well, Pastor, I'm going to look plumb stupid, man, if I walk around, oh, you're good Father, you know. You know what I'm talking about? I lead worship at our church, baby. Right? I can sing. I'm just kidding. I do lead worship, but it's painful. But I'm surrounded. I've learned a good lesson. Surround yourself with people who are more talented than you are. Right? And I got people, man, who do an awesome job. Right? Worship is more than just this. Well, Pastor, I'm worshiping. Worship is the way you live your life. Worship is letting blessings come out of here and not curses. Too many times we flip that around. We let curses come out of here and we want to tear people down. Tearing people down, church, ain't worship. Worship does what? When we worship, we lift up Jesus, right? So if I live a lifestyle of worship, then I need to lift people up. Live a lifestyle of worship. Don't be fake. Don't be phony, right? Be who God's called you to be. Be that person. Be that person God's called you to be, right? Just like skinny pants. God didn't call me to wear skinny pants. I've tried. It don't work, right? God called me to be who I am. God's called Pastor Jonathan to be who he is. And that's okay with me, right? Because why? God's called me to do things I can only do. You can't do the things that God's called me to do. God's called you to do things. You do those things, right? Be who you are and live that life. Live it every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day. Where are we at? Anybody know? What point are we on? Number five? There we go. Number five. Grace is extended throughout eternity. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Grace is extended throughout eternity. Wow. What a thought. What a thought. What's that mean? Church, I don't know if you know it or not, but this ain't it. It doesn't end here. Okay? Let me help you. When either Jesus comes, okay, and you're not ready, you will be left here. Right? Whenever you pass away, okay, when your time comes, okay, and it's just life, it happens, right? There is two options. One is heaven and one is hell. Okay? And guess who has to make the choice to determine where they're headed? You do. I do. I can't make your choice for you, right? And those places are real. Just as real as heaven is, guess what? Hell is just as real. Amen? Amen. It's not a fictional place we talk about, right? It's not a place we hear about but hope it's not there. It's a real place, right? And in your life, whenever it comes to an end, one of those two places is going to be where you spend eternity. We have the opportunity. We have the free gift of grace so we don't have to spend eternity in hell. We have the opportunity. We have a free gift of grace so that we can spend eternity in heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. All we have to do is receive, right? All we have to do is receive and maintain. What do you mean maintain? Guess what? I told you I'm Pentecostal. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Right? I believe that you can ruin your salvation. Okay? If you don't maintain it. Well, what's that mean? When you mess up, you say, God, forgive me. Help me. Let me do better. I want to be better. Right? That's how you maintain it. How else do you maintain it? This. Right? This is how you maintain it. If I read this and I grow in this, then I have really no choice other than to mature. If I let this sit on my heart and on my mind, I don't want to do anything but what this tells me to do. Right? So the result, and we're fixing to close, fixing to be done. Titus 2:11-12 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say what? No. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Church, you know what the most important thing that I just read to you right there was? The grace of God teaches us to say no. It does. It teaches us to say no. Well, what's that mean? The grace of God helps me push back temptation in life. Right? If I've got God's grace and I'm in tune with God's Word and I have a relationship with Him, okay? And in order to have a relationship with Him, you have to talk to Him. Right? Then if I've got that, and I'm in tune with His Word and with Him, when temptation rises up, when people who surround me that don't live the life that they should live or could live, I don't give in to it. God's grace teaches me to push it away and say no, and say that that's not for me, and that's not for you either. Right? Grace. Please close with this. Okay? And let this sink in. Grace, when what you ought to do becomes what you want to do. When what we ought to do, what should we do? We ought to live right. Right? We ought to live the way that God intended us to live. We shouldn't live fake lives. So what's that mean? What I ought to do becomes what I want to do. Wow. But how many of us could say, hey, that's really how I live my life? Right? Don't raise your hand. That's really how I want to live my life. But what I ought to do becoming what I want to do. There's a lot of things that we ought to do as Christians that we don't do. Right? At our church, there's something we've adopted. We love people, right? We love people. Man, we welcome people. We love them. We just had a girl move to our church from Washington. Huh? Michigan. Somewhere out of Alabama. She moved down. Nobody knows her. Walks in. She doesn't look like me. She doesn't look like you. She looks different. But guess what? God loves her. Right? We receive her. We love her. Put our arms around her. Tell her it's going to be okay. Right? Encourage her. Women around her. Get around and pray for her. God does awesome things in her life. And we've adopted this in our church. And it's for people. And it's simple. Simple. It's so simple. David Crowder loved the idea and he wrote a song after it. And it's come as you are. Come as you are. We want you to come as you are. What's that mean? For people to come as they are into our church, into this church, right? Then there's going to be times where we're going to have to accept them. And they're not going to be like us. And they're not going to be like you. And they're not going to talk like you, right? They're going to wear skinny pants. Guess what? What we ought to do is love them. What we ought to do is show them grace. What we ought to do is show them kindness. Right? I'll tell you another story. Show you how God works. Then I'll show you how the enemy works. Okay? Because just as real as God is, the enemy is just as real. Okay? There's another couple, young couple, beautiful couple, came into our church. Man, got saved, got their lives changed. Man, it's like somebody lit a torch, whoo, on fire for Jesus. Won't just ask me, Pastor, can we have Bible study every night? I'm like, hey, man, whoa, whoa, right? You can, you know? He always texts me, always calls me, all this stuff, just on fire for God. So much that he said, Pastor, and he told me, he said, I never want to get married. And he had a girlfriend, he had two kids, right? Pretty much common law married. They were living together. He said, I never want to get married. He got saved. About 2 weeks later, he came to me. He said, and he ate lunch with me. He said, Pastor, he said, I got a question. I said, what is it? He said, can you marry me and Darby? I said, yeah, we can. He said, I've given my life to Christ. And I've gotten in tune with God's Word. And what I ought to do is what I want to do. He said, Pastor, I don't want to live a life of shacking up. I said, man, that's awesome. Church, that's the point. That's the point, is to let God's Word and let our relationship with Him change us so we can live free. so we can live free. You know what happened about 2 weeks ago? He had everything going in the right direction. You know what happened? Tell you how the enemy works? He lost his job. Lost his job. He sent me a text. He said, "Hey man, I'm a little hurt. I'm a little upset. I'm a little confused. I don't know if I need to be upset, confused, mad at God or somebody else." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He told me. I said, "Man, I'm going to be honest with you. God allows things to happen to us." I said, "And we go through rough seasons." And that's what they are, seasons. And how many of us know when we go through a season and we come out of that season, where do we go after that? Anybody know? Into another season, right? I said, "And right now," I said, "you just came out of a great season." I said, "And you're in one that ain't that great right now." I said, "But you're going to come out of it. We're going to make it. We're going to be okay. Right? It's all going to work." You know what he did that night? He showed up at life smiling, just as happy could be. I said, "Man, what happened? What went on?" I said, "Did you find a job today?" He said, "No, I just know God's got it." I said, "George, that's the point. That's the point." He called me the other day. He said, "Man," he said, "I've got to provide for my family, so I've got to go out to Texas and work." He said, "But it's temporary." I said, "What do you mean it's temporary?" He said, "Because I know God's going to open up a door back here so I can continue to help my family grow and be what God's called it to be." I said, "Wow, he gets it. He gets it." Church, when what we ought to do becomes what we want to do. You see, there are things in our life that we ought to do that we don't do. There are things in our life that we shouldn't do, but we do them. Right? That's who we are. Just imagine in your life if the things that you ought to do were the things that you did in every area. Every area. I believe that God places us in places for specific purposes and times and for reasons. Amen? A lot of us say, "Well, Pastor, I don't work. But I make 500 trips to Walmart every week." Right? I don't like Walmart. Guess what? God's sending you there for a reason. You know what you need to do while you're there? Find somebody and share God's grace with them. At your workplace, you need to find somebody and share God's grace with them. I've got an evangelist friend. He's a pastor up in Coleman. You know what he calls himself? I just recently met him at a revival. He's already my friend. He says, "I call myself the Walmart stalker." I said, "That's odd." He said, "You know why?" I said, "No, you don't have to tell me." He said, "I go to Walmart with no purpose at all to find people and point them to Jesus." Wow. Wow. That's what I said. I didn't really know what I said. Wow. Nothing. You don't even go to buy a piece of nothing. He said, "I find people and I pray and ask God, God, point me to somebody." And he said he was in there a couple weeks ago and he walked up to someone and said, "Hey, I don't know you, but you got this going on in your life." And he said the woman just pretty much fell right there and just began just to ask him, how'd you know that? And he told her. You know what he did? He pointed her to Jesus. That's what it's about, church. What we ought to do becomes what we want to do. We ought to want to see people different. Right? Being a Christian, you can't be selfish. Being a follower, you can't be selfish. Right? I see Mr. Jim back there. Guess what? He's not selfish. Is he? No. Why? Every Sunday and probably, I don't know how many years, he's gotten up down at Lynn Park. Right? Because what he ought to do is what he wants to do. That's what it's about. Pointing people to Jesus. Pointing people to grace, seeing their lives changed. Amen? And hey, I want to pray for you. Can I pray for you? I love you. I love you. I hope I hadn't been too brutally honest today. I'll find out when I get in the car. You know, some of us here this morning, you're sitting here and you say, "Hey, that's how I want to live my life. That is how I want to live my life. I want to live a life to where what I ought to do becomes what I want to do." With every head bowed and every eye closed today, How many of us would say this morning, you know what? I want that lifestyle of what I ought to do, being what I want to do, but I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. Or you may be here this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor? I once had a relationship with Him, but somewhere along the way, I messed it up. And that's what we do, church. We mess up that relationship. Jesus doesn't walk away. He doesn't turn His back and head in a different direction. We do. But if that's you this morning, you fall under one of those two places, and if there's even the slightest doubt in your heart today that you need a relationship with Jesus, or you need to renew a relationship with Jesus, right now I'm not going to ask you to come down here or anything like that, but right where you are, can you just slip up your hand high enough and hold it there for me to see it? I see it. Just right up and right back down. I see it. Here's what I want to do. I want to say a prayer. We do this in our church every Sunday. And I just want you to repeat it after me. And here's what you got to do. If you just raised your hand, you just got to mean it in your heart. Just mean it in your heart. Don't let it just be words that come out of your mouth. Mean it in your heart. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I love You. And I thank You for today. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Help me be different. Jesus, I want to move forward and not backwards. Jesus, help me to keep my eyes on You. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you said that this morning for the first time, that's the most important decision you've ever made. It really is. Hey, we're going to give you a hand clap. That's awesome. We love you. But here's the thing. If you've said that this morning for the fifth time, the 50th time, the 500th time, guess what? That's the most important decision you've ever made. And we love you. But you got to grow. You got to grow. You can't stay there. You got to grow. God's got more for you. I believe. I believe it. How do you grow? You just saw Pastor Gabriel talk about it just a little while ago. The first step is connect. Getting connected. Getting plugged in. Find somewhere to get involved. Right? Well, I don't know how to play this, or I don't know how to play that, but I love babies. Other side of the wall. Great place for you. Right? We love you. Right? Go help out. Right? We love you. Can I do this? Can I pray for you? Can you take your hand and just put it on your heart? Jesus, I pray for our hearts this morning. God, some of them have came in, God, with aches and pains, Father, and God, distractions. And God, I pray this morning, God, that our hearts, Father, God, would be focused and be turned towards You, God. And Father, I pray, God, that today, God, when we leave this place, God, what we just talked about becomes how we want to live. And God, we want to live in freedom. We want to live in grace, God. And we want to do the things that we ought to do. And God, we thank You for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.